Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
No, my watch is broken too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
That stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday morning, 9 to 10. Trent, you're wearing a heavenly.
What up?
Heavenly.
Because today is heavenly.
I thought that's how I set you
that's,
up there.
That's
I
it.
Like it. I like it. No, you know, we got a good day. We're coming. We're obviously pre-recording. Our big walk is Friday.
Man, I just have a hard time putting on stuff with a collar these days. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, seriously, if there was one thing about my dad as he got older, he said, man, I got my style and my comfort level, and if you don't like it, that's just the way it is.
Well, you know, you make a good point, and we're obviously in construction. I didn't have to. I was lucky. We had a great opportunity to celebrate our friend Bill Godwin from the paper Skyscrapers 40th birthday Sunday, and I had to wear a button down collar shirt and a sport coat. I mean, without having to go to church on,
Listen,
can't go
I'm
to
not
church.
Saying I'm not saying I won't do what
I hadn't done that in a
do
while.
What you do before you do what you want to do.
I feel you.
I wear a lot of collared shirts during the summer. And when I golf, because you have to wear collared shirts when you golf, and it's just refreshing to, I don't know, man. Listen, when you're in business, I'm in a different role in our business. I mean, I had all the fancy pants. I would go to Macy's and buy all the slicker draws. I mean, I literally go buy 10 pairs of Kohan, and I mean, I don't even know, Le Crema know. I mean, I was shopping for the slickers.
But really, I mean.
I had to do it, though. I had to do that 15 years ago to elevate my game, to be a leader. I had to, because I was overcoming age. I was overcoming experience. And it was just the role that I was in that some of our guys, I think times have changed a little bit in the last 15 or so years. They've loosened up even more.
Much more. I mean, you're talking to a lawyer friend. I mean, these guys are used to wearing three-piece suits to work every day. No more. I mean, because of COVID.
What is a three-piece? It means you throw a cummerbund in there?
I think it's a vest.
You want the crumbs. The cummerbund catches the crumbs,
but
right?
But the dress code has definitely changed.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for. I remember when I first started out of school at Ferguson, it was shirt and tie. To sell plumbing parts.
Well, put it this way. So, Sunday, we did family pictures for Christmas, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a lot of brownie points because I did what I had to do before I did what I wanted to do. And I did my thing, and I said, what do I wear? And she said, wear red or navy or gray or something. Show me what all the kids' outfits were. I said, okay. So, I go to my closet, a little chilly Sunday. And,
I had
one... blue, all my stuff was blue. And she said, no, there's too much blue going on. And my daughters were like, you don't have any red shirts? Like, you're Andrew Roby. You know, and I was like, I got a lot of red short sleeve collared shirts because that's when I wear collared shirts, but
red
I don't
t-shirt.
Have a lot of red button down long sleeve shirts because during the winter I'm wearing a sweatshirt or something.
You should have borrowed TJC's
or a jacket. My jackets have collars on them.
Your jacket has a hood on it.
Well, this is a hoodie.
Yeah.
I love hoodies.
I know. I'm aware. I'm aware of your temperament when it comes to your temperature settings.
So Reagan, we're recording this on Tuesday, Election Day. Reagan took all the kids to the dentist this morning, left real early, and And they all dress pretty nice. They and because we're gonna I'm gotta do this and some other work stuff, and then we're gonna meet at the house, and then we're gonna go vote with as a family. So they all dressed up. So when I was in my closet, I was like, should I dress up? Like, I'm not. I'm wearing my sweatshirt.
Well, hopefully you have the same experience I had. 5 minutes. I was there 5 minutes.
Well, we'll see if it takes a couple hours, and that's what
part
happens.
Of, that's part of the
Reagan
deal.
Did not, Mama did not want me to go vote early. She wanted to make this traditionally official.
Okay.
So, for whatever.
I think it's going
to whatever reason. I was like, hey, we need to go vote. This is like 2 weeks ago. My buddy told me he voted, walked in, had lunch, whatever. She's like, nah, we're voting November the 3rd. I said, okay.
I think this year you might have been wise. I think the early voters, I'm hearing people 2-3 hours at a time, but I'm telling you, man, there was nobody there this morning.
So, Patrick, is everything to you about time crunching?
Yes.
Sometimes time, you need to relax.
Time is important.
And take it in. I mean, how beautiful the day is.
You think waiting in line is beautiful?
You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know.
You don't know who you're going to experience.
You don't know.
I talked to my crazy buddy, Dave Gallagher, who's going to be on the show in a month or a month and a half, from Virginia, YPO guy. I talked to him this morning. I mean, and he said, man, it is just the most gorgeous day. I'm riding down the road, calling my buddy, talking to all my good friends. I mean, it's just a wonderful day to be alive. That is how I feel.
All right. I think that's good. That suiting with your shirt, you feel heavenly.
And when we walked in this morning, you said I look like the Unabomber. I said that's what society lets you in. You look like the Unabomber. You get in the door.
Whoa! You missed one detail. As long as your temperature.
Don't give a facial profile. They'll kick you out.
As long as your temperature's under 100 degrees, you're good.
Well, sometimes I get hot. I tell people all the time, this is the one place WBT has this fancy machine monitor. You step up and it takes you to. I'm always so. This is the most scared moment of my life now. Once a week, when I get put my head up there, I'm like, they're gonna kick me out today,
dude. And if you're not compliant, that thing lets you know. I mean, it like flashes red.
If you don't have on your face mask,
it doesn't want
to see any contours on your face.
I had my thin mask today. He didn't like it.
Wow,
didn't like it.
I don't know. Well, hey, we're recording this show on Election Day. This Friday is the 13th annual pitching. No, we're walking for Wishes. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the last segment, but it's real exciting. So this show will air Sunday, so we will have completed our 28.3-mile trek, and I think about 25 of our staff are going to walk in segments, and 5 of us, including me and you, are going to walk the whole 28.3 miles, 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Witty, 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 witty.
Ooh.
I will roll over 3 times Saturday, and that's about it. No, it's great. We're so excited. It's going to be a new experience, kind of like what we're talking about today. Hey, we have Joey Smith with Frampton Construction when we return. We hope you're having a beautiful morning. You're listening to At Home with Rick.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you've missed the first segment, go back and take a listen. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, good time. And here we are on segment number 2. Trent, you got a funny-looking face over there. Everything
well,
good?
You came in all quaint. After that fun first segment we had, you're like, hey.
Woo!
Whoa. TJ, you got to calibrate that. We don't need to. People will be wrecking.
Oh, man. I think they'll be all right. I think everybody needs on a Sunday morning. I think we provide a lot of energy to the city of Charlotte.
Well, you weren't. You were reading your script. Did you forget after 5 years?
No, I think I could do this in my
Welcome
sleep.
Welcome back to that.
Oh, man. Joey Smith is our guest from Frampton Construction. Joey, you didn't get a chance to listen into the first segment, or you could pitch in on this banter, but it was definitely comical. We are in a good, lighthearted mood. We're recording today on Election Day, if you didn't hear the first segment. So a lot going on here at WBT, Trent.
Yeah, no, I was talking to Dave Gallagher this morning. I said, man, check out a couple shows he's asking me. I was like, no prep. You're crazy. We'll be fine. You've got a crazy story. And I said, he said, oh, Eric Berg, man, that's awesome. Apple Rock, you got good people. I was like, yeah, I got good people. I was like, Eric's been in my forum for 9 years. I said, you need to listen to that show first.
His was remarkable.
I said, and it might not be that funny and exciting. I said, well, I think they all are. But I said, that's some serious pivoting he did. So, what's up, Joey?
How you guys doing? Appreciate you having me.
Oh yeah, man. We're glad to have you on the show. And Joey, you're with Frampton Construction. Tell us, give the audience and us a rundown on exactly what you guys do and your role with the firm.
Okay, so Frampton Construction is a full service, mostly design build firm. We do a lot of industrial construction and general commercial. Build everything from hotels to heavy manufacturing plants, mostly up and down the East Coast, but we do have clients that are taking us kind of all over the country right now. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a great industry, which I know you guys are familiar with, Trent and Patrick. And, it's a lot of fun to meet good people like yourself and just, do business together and enjoy what we're doing. So to your point, we try to not take it too serious, but we try to have some fun while we're doing it and, meet some great people along the way. So my role is I'm the director of the company. So my main focus is our Charlotte office and developing our Charlotte market, as well as just kind of generally throughout the Carolinas. But we're headquartered in Charleston, offices in Charleston and Charlotte. And my other kind of main piece of my day-to-day focus is our industrial market. So my background's light industrial to heavy manufacturing construction. So kind of getting those projects from a concept all the way through construction completion. So,
and you're from the Charlotte region, right? Born and raised on the on the east side.
I wasn't born here, but I've been here since I was five. So
that counts.
Came here in the mid '80s when I was a little kid. But Charlotte's changed a lot. I grew up in the Mid Hill area, went to Independence High School. So
you look like you went to Independence with your. Your quarter centimeter hair in the back, all high and tight, like a daggone knucklehead.
He's just
jealous. Y'all are the type of guys that rolled us Westsiders, but hold on.
He's just jealous.
Y'all had a few glory days, I think, but it was short-lived. But no, man, Charlotte's been great. It's an awesome city, and it's changed a lot since the 80s, and it's been fun to watch the growth, which I'm sure you guys see it too. I mean, it hasn't lost that, that kind of small town feel. I mean, it's still see a lot of the same folks that he saw back then and around the same circle. So it's pretty neat to see the evolution.
So you and I officially met probably about a year and a half ago. I guess Chad is your president out of Charleston, mm-hmm. Chad Frampton, and he is. I know the business is different, but it's maybe second generation in the business. Is that right?
That's right. His dad started the business, and Chad took it over in, I think it was 2008, actually, is when he kind of took it over. So right up leading into the recession. So it was a great time for a young guy to take over. Yeah,
exactly. Have this, you idiot.
Here you go, son. It really is a good time. I mean, I mean, look at it both ways.
Yeah. My story is, I've said this before, I'll say it again. My dad, I came into the business in 99, 2000, graduated Carolina in 2000. We grew a whole lot. I was grow. That's
right.
That was not intelligent. Just say that. And dad loved it, though. He was excited and let me do my thing. And he always said, would temper me. He'd say, you never lived through the 70s. You don't understand the 70s. Interest rates 18%, gas prices $5 a gallon, there's a 2-mile line, nobody had work, people weren't spending money. He walked in my office September of 2009. He was real haggard, took his hat off, sat down in front of the chair. I had been running the company, from that role for since 2000, and he looked at me and he said, the 70s don't have anything on this deal.
But you know the thing, Trent, is, I mean, even at that regard, I started here in 2010, and people that lived through that recession time, especially, I couldn't imagine taking over a business like you all did. I mean, you learn how to freaking grind. I mean, you have to grind, and you learn how to grind, and you don't take anything for granted. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that.
Well, you only know, I say this all the time, Patrick, you hear this, every day I live and every day we have tenured employees, every day that associate at the Roby family, it's exponentially better. But you don't know that when you haven't done it. And I was talking to somebody yesterday and said, hey, I've watched America go through, in my world, two crazy times. And you know, are we going to get back to normal? Will we stop wearing masks? Will there be a, I mean, will there be a semblance of what it was? I said, of course it'll happen within weeks of a vaccine or a medicine. I said, 9/11, people were never going to fly again, ever, ever. And I think by March, the flights were more than they were before 9/11, you know, and that's how. And then in 2009, I read multiple articles from the custom residential side that said, oh, the high-end $100,000 kitchen's a thing of the past. People are more utilitarian. They won't spend money. Man, people are spending $300,000 on their kitchens now.
Yep.
I mean, they're spending $80 on appliances. So
yeah,
that I have faith in our resiliency to live well as a society.
Sure.
So I'm excited about the future. I think that's a good position to be in. So anyway,
yeah, it's funny you say that because I was just talking to somebody the other day about you know, if you didn't, we have a lot of young people that work for us too, and I'm young too, but younger than me, younger than us, and Patrick. But like, you know, if you weren't working in the business world before the recession,
exactly,
and you know, let's say come out of college or something after 2012 or whatever. And you didn't see and go through, like, you saw the good times, then you got hit real hard, and then you know, now you saw the last few years of this good run with the economy. It's hard to put it in perspective and understand, you know, how tough things got there for a while. I mean, especially leading a business and running a business. And,
yeah, you were right on,
you know,
point.
Trying to figure out what do you do next. I mean, and it's funny because, like, you realize how quickly you forget something that wasn't that long ago. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of our guys in the company, project managers and stuff, like they're out of college after that time frame. They didn't go through it. So they really don't know what to expect. And I think that's where kind of the true test when everybody's leadership comes in is, you know, getting through this and helping them see it without it being too painful, you know, obviously for them personally and stuff.
And one other thing to that, and then we're going to go pay some bills. But, I mean, I was reading all these business books. I was jacked up on reading business books after college and during college. And I used to always tell my dad, because in theory, you make all your money during a recession. That's when you can buy real estate low and stocks low. And I would tell my dad, I mean, this is 02, 03. I mean, he was going, man, this is pretty good. I'm feeding my family. All our employees are employed. It's good. The only problem is the market's a little frothy. We lose a good employee every now and then because they get a little silly. But other than that, it's pretty good. I like this. And I'd say, I want a recession. And he'd go, you young bull, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, he would literally, like, say, do not let that come out of your mouth. Like, he would get angry and say, don't say that. He's like, I would rather fight good times problems than recession problems. So, well, hey, Joey, I want to jump more into your business, and I know you got some charitable items as a family and as a person that you as well as Frampton champion. Will you stay tuned with us for another segment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure, guys. Thanks.
All right, we're listening. We're talking to Joey Smith with Frampton Construction. When we return, you're listening to At Home.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, hopefully that intro was better than last time. I got a hard time for being boring. If you were not listening to segment two, please go back and listen. We're joined by Joey Smith from Frampton Construction. And we had a really good dialogue.
Did you say you got caught a hard time?
I caught a hard
Buddy,
time.
You ain't even caught a hard time.
Oh, whoa, tough guy.
You missing hard
Man,
times.
I told him he looked like the Unabomber. Now he's looking on. He's acting all tough. Dang.
From the West Sizzy.
No, we were talking about managing at the end of the second segment, which I thought was a really cool conversation, managing a company during a recession, because Joey said his partner Chad really started managing Frampton Construction right in the recession. And, man, I got out of college in 04, and everything was the way it was, kind of like kids that got out in 12, 13. Everything was wonderful. I mean, sales records every month. Oh, yeah, it was awesome, 04, 05, 06. And then in 08, I had to lay somebody off at the company that I worked for, and I'll never forget that. And I was like, wow, this recession, this is no joke. I mean, it was like a 180 effect. But we were talking about how much experience that we all gained, and And you know, what's kind of funny is y'all, Trent, you and Joey were having a conversation, and all of a sudden I kind of realized, well, dang, we're the old guys.
No, we are. Joey said we were young. Joey, you that caught my ear. We are the old guys.
When did that happen?
I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah. Like, I said something. I was talking to my kids about 9/11, and I was like, y'all think that was a long time ago? They're like, duh. Was 19 years ago.
Yeah, right.
I guess she's nine. Okay.
You double their age. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. In 88, 90, I honestly thought that 1970 was old. I mean, I didn't have Carl Yastrzemski baseball cards. Well, I had Mark McGuire's.
Your brother and I were talking, and he brought up a comment about how we treat people a little bit differently in the construction world. He said, man, if this was 1990, it would have been like this, this, and this. Like, that doesn't seem like that long ago. 30 years.
I mean, Hurricane Hugo was yesterday, homeboy.
That's it.
Well,
Joey,
you're talking about something a lot of people don't even know about, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hugo. That's like when I was a kid, there was some hurricane that destroyed the coast of North Carolina in like the 30s. Yeah. And they used to always talk about that. Like, what are you?
Like Hurricane Hazel or something.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, what are you talking about, you old person?
Oh, man. Every time you bring up Hurricane Hugo, I was in third grade, and this poor guy that was from, he was South African, so he'd come to our school, and his name was Hugo.
I bet he was a timid young man.
No, he was a really nice kid. But, I mean, it's already tough enough that you're coming to a new country, and this hurricane with your namesake comes and, like, devastates the state of South
8,000 miles inland. Like 140 mile gale force winds. What?
That was you, Hugo. Yeah. He's like, no.
God bless the mountain range.
There we go.
I
mean,
I don't know, man. Good old day. I mean, it's funny. I got a lot of friends that live in Eastover, and I tell them all. I'm like, when I was a kid driving a dump truck, working, I always thought the people that lived over here were old. I don't know what that means, but. Anyway.
Oh, man.
That's all I got.
Well, no, I mean, so Joey, we were talking a little bit at the break. You know, some people hear that you're from Frampton Construction, you're based in Charlotte, and we like having other like-minded contractors on our show. We have John from Simonini. We like to bring these kind of folks on.
Arthur Sammet,
thank you. Hopefully, as an industry, and we talk about this through our affiliation with NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, is we may be competitors one time ever, but we might not. You have your niche, we have ours.
Honestly, the low-hanging fruit is how we can share business share relationships. I mean, Joey's the relationship guy, and so I mean, right? So me and you, obviously... Yeah.
That's it.
Are compatible, and then it's like, well, hey, let's put our heads together and see who we know and see how I can help you and you help me. And
I mean our whole business is relationship driven. We're not out chasing a bunch of hard bid work. Our goal is not to get on bid lists. You know, we get in deep. We kind of go the extra mile for our clients on the front end of our deals, to help them figure out the risk and especially the dirt situation, and just take a lot of that risk off the table for them. And that's how we try to go win our deals, is just, you know, bring more value than the other guy. Not necessarily, I mean, we know we got to be competitive, but, you know, we're not out just trying to hard bid anything and everything and load up on work. So our whole business, our whole company is structured that way and focused on that. And that's from the top down. So from Chad, myself, and everyone else, all the way down to, you know, our relationship with our subcontractors and our trade partners. I mean, it's, you know, we need the right subs and trade partners that do the right type of work for the right project and are, you know, good, strong, stable companies. And, you know, that's kind of how we approach everything. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, it's all, and you socialize with your customers and your network. You work for them, you serve them, and the goal is you become their friends and their family, but you also add value together. And
that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it's that's the fun part, is once, you know, you call on somebody and try to open that door. Next thing you know, a year, 2 years down the road, that's, you know, some of your best friends or some of the people you spend the most time with away from your family is some of those clients. And then some of our trade partners too, man. Some of our trade partners are some of my closest personal friends. So.
Well, and I think that's what was so interesting and intriguing for us forming a relationship with you all is that you know, we met with Brandon, your pre-con manager there, such a nice young man, is that there is opportunity for us to work together if it makes sense. And you make a good point. I think sort of we try to do a business lesson of the day on this show, and I think I kind of can summarize what you were saying there, Joey, is by forming those relationships with your clients and your trade partners, you're decommoditizing your business. And that's really what we're all trying to do is to become, you said, add value, right? Add value to the relationship. And, you know, I used to always hear this phrase, you can get the cheapest anywhere, you can only get the best in one spot. And so I think that's why we align so well together, is that our business philosophies are very similar.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, our goal is we don't have some magic number we're trying to hit. I mean, obviously we do a lot of marketing and stuff. We've experienced a lot of growth, which has been great, but it's been controlled growth. So we're not trying to be the biggest contractor in the Southeast or in the country. You know, our goal is to stay focused on our core values and the business we're trying to build. And if we do that, you know, we believe everything else will fall into place, take care of itself. And, you know, and then you still always have to make hard decisions, but they're a lot easier to make when you kind of stay focused on those values. So.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, we about ran out of time, and we might even in first of next year do another show. But you talk about core values, Joey. Is your whole family all your children are adopted? Is that correct? No, or you have one child.
Three of my four are. Yeah. Yes. Adoption is something that's real near and dear to our family. My wife was in the adoption profession for a long time, and so it's just something we're real passionate about, and
that's cool.
You know, stay involved with in the community and different organizations. So, but yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and it's something that's very close to our families.
No, I mean, I went by Joey's office a couple months. We played golf together.
Beautiful
And Frampton does really good with swag, similar to the Roby family. I think Joey called it swag envy. So I went by to get a couple things, and I meant saw a picture of his family in his personal office, and man, beautiful family. I mean, I think that's a blessing. I have five kids, my wife birthed them all naturally, and that's a blessing. But you know, we've always talked about adoption, and I asked you a couple of questions, and you lit up, man. And I really think that is the pinnacle of love. It's just beautiful, man. It really is. And you're also heavily involved with Levine's. You're trying to pump that up as well.
Yeah. So my oldest son has an immune deficiency. He has several special needs, but we got involved with Levine Children's Hospital several years ago, specifically with Dr. Patel and the Immune Deficiency Foundation, basically. And so they're doing a lot of research right now and testing with, you know, everything going on with COVID and things like that. But it's just Dr. Patel moved here to really help boost this piece of Levine Children's Hospital. So we got involved with the Atrium Foundation through all of that. I'd love to talk more about that at some point, but it's a great organization. I don't think people realize the resource they have in Charlotte until you absolutely need it, like with your child. But the Levine Children's Hospital is by far, in my opinion, the best in the country. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said, you don't realize that until you need it. But it's there, and definitely needs a lot of community support, but could always use more. So,
man, that is awesome. I know about Levine's. My oldest child, she's 12, had a couple stints in Levine's trying when she was a baby, and I tell everybody it's the hidden gem of Charlotte. It's a true blessing. Man, keep doing the right thing and wearing it on your sleeve. How can people tell the audience how they can look you up and learn a little more about Frampton Construction after they listen to the show?
Yeah, so, you know, check out our website. We're actually in the process right now of redoing our entire website. So don't judge the book by its cover right now. It's going to be totally revamped probably first of the year. But Frampton.construction or FramptonConstruction.com. And feel free to reach out, look us up, or contact information's online, and feel free to reach out to us in Charlotte or in Charleston, and you can ask for me personally, and I'll make a point to return calls or emails or whatever it is. So yeah, please just check us out, LinkedIn, website, any other way you can get in touch with us.
Joey, thanks for being our guest. What an interesting story. Godspeed to your family and to your firm, and look forward to sharing business together many times over. You're listening to At Home with Rogan.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trace.
That time I was looking at
from
my phone.
From the Roby family of companies.
Snap out of it. Woo! Sound like Patrick.
Dang.
Goodness gracious.
Well, no, Trent, we just wrapped up with Joey Smith from Frampton Construction. I really like talking to those guys. I mean, like we talked about, very aligned with the cultures and values that we have at Roby. Now, seemed to be a good
firm. I started to say this about a year and a half ago. So Chad Frampton, who's out of Charleston, is a fellow YPOer, and looked me up and said, hey, I'm going to be in Charlotte. I'd like you to meet my director, Joey Smith, and I think his CFO came. And so I was doing the Trent size up. I said, hey, there's this little joint on South Boulevard called the Skyline. Meet me over there if you think you can make it.
Oh, yeah, you took him there. All right.
Yeah, and we ate breakfast, and I was acting so silly that morning. I left and I kind of got back in my truck. I was like, man, hope those guys don't think I'm a fool. And then, and then later I talked to Joey. He's like, man, what's up, man? That was awesome. I love your spirit. And I was like, all right, so good.
Is that
I
love I think your spirit.
I think I wore a collar for those guys. No, I didn't. No. No, I didn't wear a collar for them. No, they're good boys. They really are.
They are. I agree. And we got the opportunity to spend a few hours with Joey at Steels Mechanicals golf tournament for veterans, which was a nice day put on by Dan Bailey. Of course, he's been on the show. So it's cool that all these companies are doing the right thing for the community.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So y'all know this is our walking for wishes. This will be before this show airs.
Yep.
So leading up every year on the radio show, y'all know we really, really, really throw an emphasis on Make-A-Wish, which is what we raise our funds for. We're just a vehicle for Make-A-Wish of Central and North Carolina to grant wishes for these kids with life-threatening illnesses. So Christian, our office wife, asked,
my office wife.
When her and Reagan started collaborating, I'm doomed. she wants us to wants you, not us. I mean, how to read one more wish story?
Yeah, this is a good one.
And that'll be the high hat on our wish season, and hopefully we can grant tens and tens of wishes this year. With the wall and our sponsors.
And then hopefully next year we're tossing beanbags again in Freedom Park.
Man, hopefully
that's the goal.
No mask.
That's it. All right, so this is Trey Mars. Spider-Man, the color blue, eating pizza, and playing with Legos. These are just a few of Trey Mars' favorite things. Although these items might be considered typical activities for a young boy, Trey Mars is not like most seven-year-olds. When he was only one, he experienced his first seizure. Caused by a nervous system disorder, Trey Mars' diagnosis led to frequent hospital visits, treatments, and medication. It also guided his social worker to refer him to Make-A-Wish. During his wish discovery visit at the Wish House, he imagined all the amazing things he could do with his wish, and also discovered one more thing he loved, the video game NBA 2K that he played on his PS4 in the Wish Room. You know what all that means?
Nope.
I don't have a PS4, but... sounds really cool. Shortly after Trey Mars' visit at the Wish House, COVID-19 hit and the statewide stay-at-home order was put into place. Instead of waiting until it's safe to go on a trip or meet his favorite celebrity, Trey Mars decided he wanted to have a shopping spree. Although he wasn't able to go shopping in malls or toy stores, his Make-A-Wish team worked diligently in order to all the toys and games he wanted to keep him entertained during the quarantine. On the day of Trey Mars' wish, the streets flooded with the sounds of fire trucks and emergency vehicles honking and cheering their way to his house. First responders dressed up as his favorite superheroes, balloons, signage, and, of course, all of his shopping spree items. Trey Mars received a beanbag chair, a scooter, Lego blocks, a pogo stick, Spider-Man costume, and the present he had been most looking forward to, his new PS4, with his favorite video game. As Trey Mars and his family remain safely at home, they have plenty of fun activities to enjoy together and memories to cherish for years to come. This is a quote from Trey Mars' mom. She said, I just love seeing him enjoy himself. I think this is one he'll always remember.
That is, man.
That's awesome.
I'm going to tell you something. Our pastor at Still Creek
Presbyterian Church at Pleasant Hill, Jeff Pinkston, Dr. Jeff Pinkston. He has always, since we've been going to church here for 13, 14 years, a dear friend. We've become dear friends. We're in a small group together. But he always has prayed specifically for first responders several times during mm-hmm. service. And it always caught my eye. And then through these, when you go through difficult times and talking about these folks, sure. I mean, he calls out paramedics and firemen and police officers, the whole nine. So thank you guys for what y'all do to keep our community safe and protected, and helping people. Listen, we hope you had fun today. Always go do the golden rule. Smile all you can, and go Cats. Wow, wow.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
Now my watch is broken, too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.